Another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Kinnon. I apologize for my hair. I don't know how to fix that right now. Honestly, I can't fix it. It just is what it is. We'll have to deal with it. You know what else we'll have to deal with? More Ohio State talk today, guys. Yep. We are going through the teams from top to bottom based on postseason rankings, and Ohio State was number one. And we are talking about the potential NFL draft prospects that we see right now, and this could always change once the season begins, but the guys that we see right now who are draft eligible, who are relatively, you could see them entering the 2026 NFL draft. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk about six gentlemen today, ranging from safety to defensive end. Weirdly enough, no defensive tackles for Ohio State this year that we are talking about yet, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll change. But I got to ask, Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I PR'd in my 400-meter benchmark workout today, so I'm feeling good. The treadmills at my gym only go up to 15 miles an hour, and to finish a quarter mile in a minute, you have to stay at 15 miles an hour for the whole minute, and I was able to do it, so it felt good. It was a good day at the gym, so I'm here ready to talk some Ohio State defense here and get into this. Yesterday's episode was a lot of fun, so
yeah. I have not ran. I consistently tell people that the only way that I'm going to be running is if something that can kill me or my family is chasing me. That's it. I retired from running when I left the military. Talk about burnout. So let's get down and dirty here. Do you want to start from the top? Do you want to start from the bottom? Everybody knows about Caleb Downs.
I think we just start with the obvious one. Yeah.
Knows about like Sonny Styles. So we'll just get through them quick. Mm-hmm. Maybe, mm-hmm. Maybe yeah. Not. I don't know. We talked about two guys for like 25 minutes yesterday. So
yeah,
Caleb Downs. Before you start, and I will let you like start and have the runway, but I just need to say this first and foremost. He's just a damn good football player. Mm-hmm. Just like a flat out period. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, he is. He is. I want to be diplomatic in how I say this because he is a damn good football player. And like, how I evaluate safeties these days too, it's kind of shifted. Like, I don't need to see a safety be able to do all three things: play in the box, play in the slot, and play over the top. Right. I think as long as a safety can check two of those boxes, like, I'm really good with it. And Downs checks two of those boxes.
I disagree.
You think he plays? He's got range over the top too.
Oh hell yeah. Hell yes.
I see a little iffiness.
Not his. If for me, his range is perfectly fine. Not like I don't think he's going to run a 4.4, but because he is so instinctive when he's reading QB intentions, and that's the other thing that we have to talk about with when it comes to safety play in general.
Right?
Is what is their role? What are they doing? And there is a lot of single high snaps for him. And he does a very good job of reading QB intentions. And there aren't a lot of over-the-top throws that he has to actually defend. But I, in the couple of instances where he had to turn and burn, I didn't have any issues with it.
I saw some reps in the Oregon game. I think it was the first time around, not the Rose Bowl, where he got his toe stepped on a bit and had to try to turn and run. And then the Texas game as well, he got kind of in catch technique a little out leveraged a little bit. But again, how often is a safety like Caleb Downs, I should say, how often are you sticking him in the slot and lining him up in like cover one? Like it's not going to happen very often. And that's to say, like, I think he's a very good safety. I do think that he is closer to Jamal Adams, though, than like, obviously, he's not Kyle Hamilton. Like, that's not a fair comp to make, right? But I think Kyle Hamilton is the last, like, blue chip safety that we have to kind of go off of, right? I think he's more like Jamal Adams than he is Kyle Hamilton. And Jamal Adams was drafted earlier than Kyle Hamilton. So, again, that's to say that, like, Caleb Downs is still going to get drafted in the first round. But I'm going to cool on the blue chip talk.
I didn't see anything that I disliked from his game, like at all. Sure. The only thing, like he might be a 4.55 guy. Like
I want his eyes on the quarterback. That's my biggest concern.
I don't think he's super fast. But like, man, he's quick witted. He reads 2-to-1 quick when they're doing match stuff. He's the QB intention stuff when they're in spot drop. He's good with, and then. The way that he plays, man, the physicality that safety tandem played with. I mean, that's two linebackers there. Of those guys.
Latham Ransom was a crash test dummy.
Oh my God, he's so much fun to watch. I mean, Latham was so much fun to watch. But like Kayla, man, he doesn't miss tackles. Even when he gets a little bit out of position, he finds a way to get the job done. He will run through your face. Like he is everything that I want in a safety outside of like he's not Jesse Bates, obviously, back there.
Right.
But I think he's more than good enough to play anywhere you need him to play. And I think it's because I like him. I like his mind when it comes to how quickly he is reading things 2-to-1 in match stuff, how intensive he is in coverage. And then on top of that, I think that quick-wittedness makes up for a lot of the times that 4.50 to 4.52 speed.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's all fair. Again, he's a good football player. I'm not there with the blue chip stuff because again, like, when his eyes are on a man and not on the quarterback is when some, but again, he's a safety. So like, it's unfair to say like, well, he's not as good in man coverage as corners are. Well, of course not. He'd be playing corner. Right. Like, so like, it's a little nitpicky.
I mean, let's not forget Kyle Hamilton got embarrassed by a 5'8" Oregon State wide receiver.
Yeah.
And it tanked the narrative, his entire narrative.
Right.
But yeah, like,
so that's a little nitpicky. He's a great football player.
Yeah, and that's
how he doesn't check every box to be that blue chip guy, I think, is what I'm trying to say here.
No, I don't see him. Like, I see him very much. They're different players, but I see him in that Malachi Starks range is where you don't even see him that high.
I think he could get drafted. Oh, I thought you were talking about like, I was like, I don't want that guy playing man in the slot.
No. That's what I said. They're different players, but in that same range of where they'll grade out for me.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I can live with that. All right. The second most popular player on this Ohio State defense is obviously linebacker Sonny Styles.
Sonny? Second most popular? He's my most popular.
Your most? If you had to grade them out, would you grade him out higher than Caleb Downs?
No, but I'm more excited about him.
I mean, me too. He's in the second year playing linebacker. And he's 19 years old in his third season of college. Yeah, he's a freak. I think we could be talking about
21 this year, by the way.
Okay, he's 21. Similarly, we could be talking about him the same way that we kind of started talking about Jahad Campbell at the end of the season last year. Because again, he's 6'3", 235, a converted safety. So he's got coverage instincts.
And not just converted, like started at safety.
Yes.
For Ohio State, like not in high school.
Not in high school, yeah. My biggest qualm with Sonny Styles, I hate them playing him as an overhang. If you want him to play linebacker, let him play linebacker and stop trying to man him out in the nickel in the slot. And like, And I get, like, the Michigan game, sure. Like, it's Colson Loveland. You need to probably put your best athlete on Colson Loveland without giving up a corner, right? And, like, we talked about two safeties who I think are very much, like, eyes on the quarterback, downhill-oriented, and Caleb Downs and Layton Lorenzen. It probably made sense, like, Sonny Styles, go man up Colson Loveland, right? But, like, I would love for if they could cut out the overhang stuff and just, like, let him play stack and let him play linebacker. Because, again, I think where his game still needs, because it's his second full season playing linebacker, is his eyes aren't fast yet. His eyes aren't fast yet. But I'm very excited about Sonny Styles.
I think there's times where I see his eyes are very quick, actually. I think the problem is just he needs way more reps in the box.
Yes, exactly.
To be consistent with it. That I agree with. But man, the safety convert is so easy to see, and the explosiveness and size and violence that he brings on contact is those Ohio State defenders last year. I don't think I really realized it. They freaking hit people, man. I mean, they were physical.
It will not shock me if Cody Simon becomes a 10-year NFL starting linebacker for the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with you. But yeah, man, Sonny Styles, just that type of athleticism and size. And I think how good he was already at linebacker in year one. Again, going into summer scouting, mm-hmm. This is where we can be sunshine and roses and really project this dude could be special. Mm-hmm. We're just going to have to wait and see if it happens.
Yeah. Again, get him out of the freaking slot. Get him out of the overhang looks. Let him play.
He needs to learn to play a little bit lower at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And he bites off more than he can chew quite often. When it comes to pursuit angles. And I think that's just kind of because he's just, again, kind of new to the position.
Yeah. Do you know there's also some people in that building that think he should be playing pass rusher? Like, there are some people, like, he would legitimately be a better pass rusher than a linebacker. But you can't change that guy's position a third time. And he's too good of a backpedaler. He's too good in coverage.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But that's what makes me think, like, we could be talking about him the same way we've been talking about Jahad Campbell, like, from, like, December on last year. Like, that's what makes me think we could be talking about Sonny Styles in that same regard next year.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump to the player that I'm third most excited about on Ohio State's defense, if you're okay with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Jermaine Matthews, man. This guy was the best corner on their team last year. And I know he didn't get to play a whole lot because Denzel Burke and Davis and Igbinosin had some seniority. Jermaine Matthews was the best corner on that team last year. But he's long, he's twitched up, plays well within his frame.
You like him more than Hancock?
I mean, Hancock was kind of like an apex hybrid, right? So, like,
yeah, I get it. Kinda, we're talking about outside corner. I get it.
Yeah. I did like Hancock quite a bit. But he was always kind of like a day three player to me just because of role and, like, scheme fit kind of questions, right? So, like, Jermaine Matthews could blow up this year, and it wouldn't shock me if he's the next Ohio State corner to go in the first round. Like, twitched up, pigeon-toed, well within his frame, fluid, long. I'm excited to see him as a full-time starter and not, like, rotationally. And I'm excited to see Jermaine Matthews this year.
Yeah, I want to see more of him. Caught, obviously, bits and pieces from whenever I could get him getting some good snaps. Thankfully, he actually got quite a bit of snaps during the playoff run. And I was very surprised. I love watching the, like, 5'10 to 6 foot corners who have legs like they're 6'3"
mm-hmm.
and, like, a real small torso and are still super fluid. Like, he is, like you said, he is very fluid. Some of the speed turns and his ability to reacquire and carry was a lot of fun to watch when he, you know, got kind of got his toes stepped on, and he was able to redirect and recover in ways that, I mean, we saw what happened to Denzel Burke in that Oregon game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. Jermaine Matthews is a guy that I think you can be really excited about going into this year, especially with who you have on the opposite end of the spectrum here.
Yeah. Welcome back, Joey Porter Jr. Grabby Joey Porter Jr.
Oh, yeah. He's way grabbier than Joey Porter, and he's not as good.
He's Dollar Tree Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah, and I tweeted it out. Caden Curry had a good pass rush against Marcus Bowe, and we'll talk about Curry here in a minute, but he had a good pass rush against Marcus Bowe, and obviously on that play, it was a pass downfield, and Igbinosin, defensive pass interference. Obviously. And that's really what it comes down to. Now, what I will say is Ohio State, and this is why you can be really excited about somebody like Jermaine Matthews. Ohio State really puts their defensive backs, particularly their corners, in really, really disadvantageous positions. We're talking about playing 10 yards off. We're talking about having to catch and carry guys quite a bit. They are asked to be high-level processors and athletes, playing aggressive with their toes down at 10 yards and still be able to carry vertically. That is why Denzel Burke got murked against Oregon, because he couldn't turn and burn with the speed that those guys had.
Yeah, so Dalton, according to PFF here, Davis and Igbinosin racked up 16 penalties last year.
Did that lead defenders?
I mean, it had to.
I would love to know, but PFF has been glitchy the past couple of days, so we probably won't be able to look that up right now.
Probably not. Yeah.
That's got to be top five. It's got to be top five. 16 defensive penalties is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they played a ton of games because they played in the national championship. But is that just regular season?
That was the full season, regular and post.
Yeah.
But what sucks is he's got an awesome body type. He's also pretty twitchy. He just can't. And he's long. Like, again, he's got everything that you would look for in a corner, but the dude just can't keep his hand. Yep. The next highest was 11. So he had five more than Nevada corner Chad Brown.
Is that just for corners, though?
Yeah, just for corners.
Oh, I was thinking, I wonder about him college football wide. Position notwithstanding. I bet you he's still at the top.
Yeah, I don't know if I can sort it that way. I could do full defense. We'll go there. But yeah, but like I really like his body type. He moves pretty well, and he's a boundary corner, obviously, right? So like,
yeah,
he doesn't need to be ultra fluid, but he moves well for a boundary corner. He can, if he could just keep his hands to himself.
He's grabby.
He's late to open his gate, and he's in recovery mode all the time. And his transitional burst isn't great, so like he has to grab to try to hang back on. And so yeah, he has the most defensive penalties. Let me go to offense. Oh, there's no way to search just by offense. So he has the most, at least, defensive penalties. Without me going through offensive,
I bet he has the most penalties in college football.
Yeah, I bet so too. We're gonna go to blocking because that's the only way.
Yeah, holding. Yeah, I mean they don't call OPI. Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, so we're gonna look at blocking here and.
Yeah, it would be false starts and holdings and.
Oh. No. Oh boy, this is fun. South Alabama. Offensive and like false starts too. South Alabama offensive tackle Malachi Carney had 18 penalties. Guess who also had 16 penalties, and this should not be a hard guess. It's an offensive lineman that we both like really loved, and then we're like, oh no, actually he kind of sucks as the season went along.
Texas.
Yeah, Cam Williams.
Cam Williams.
dude false starts all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cam Williams also had 16 penalties.
Yeah.
So tied for second most penalties in college football last year. So, yeah, that's great. But again, it just figure something out technique wise, man, because I think the feet are kind of there. The hips are slow to open. But again, you're a boundary corner. You don't need to be as fluid as a field corner. Like, you just don't. I figure something out, man. But we'll see what happens this year. Right now, he's a mess with his hands. So
yeah.
All right, that just leaves us to talk about the two edge rushers here, who neither were starters. Both will be starters next year, and that is Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry. Neither of which look to be players that, well, Caden Curry's a senior, look to be players that should declare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild
card here is CJ Hicks, who did play linebacker for Ohio State, is moving to full-time edge.
So, I do really like the way that Caden Curry plays the game. Because he does play with his pants on fire. But he is, like, his pursuit is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He really, really wants to be a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not.
Yeah.
Neither of them have any sort of, and this has been an Ohio State thing the past couple of years, weirdly enough, after the Bosa brothers,
Chase Young's the last Chase like Young. Good one, dominant one.
Yeah, just
full of five stars. None of them.
Not very refined guys when it comes to pass rush plan, when it comes to footwork and hand usage. Like, it's all just not really there.
Yeah.
What I will say is Kenyatta Jackson has some upside to him.
Lots of length, lots of burst.
Lots of length, 6'6", lots of length, lots of burst. And he has a nice little Euro step that he gets that he can swim inside on or rip inside on. But outside of that, man, he just doesn't really have much of a plan at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple times where he had the burst and it looked like he might have the bend, but then the ankles gave out on him. And so, like, is he going to consistently be able to win on the outside track?
Mm.
I don't know. The hands are going to have to get so much better if he's going to.
Because he's not overly powerful either.
No, but what I will say is with that length, I did watch him walk back Connerly a couple times, which, talk about Connerly's core strength. He was able to re-anchor. But there is that initial stab and drive.
Right.
Mostly because he's 6'6". He's probably got 34-inch arms. But
if you don't have Ben, then you have to have, like, the Jared Verse, Will Anderson Jr. Yes. level of explosiveness and speed to power, ability to convert speed to power through the chest. And
he doesn't have that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. And Curry on the other side has a little bit more when it comes to his hands. And I actually think that he's got some pretty decent straight line juice when it comes to in pursuit, but the initial explosiveness off the line, and this is something with Jackson too, getting off of the line, he can be slow on sometimes. Curry's just kind of stiff. He's really stiff. He is listed at 6'3" and he plays like he's 6'8". Like, he just plays straight up, knee bend whatsoever. And so, yeah, that's kind of tough. But, you know, for me, this is an incredibly talented back seven. And I'm wondering what the front four is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
'Cause they'll have young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Will they get run?
For sure. I know, like, we could talk about some young guys, but it's hard to, like, talk about guys who had 100 snaps last year, right? Like,
Marvell
Reese, linebacker, 6'3" and 300 or 230 pounds. The dude can play. Like, he's got trades, but, like, he played 100 snaps. I know people really like Cade McDonald, who plays defensive tackle for Ohio State, but, like, again, he played 100 snaps behind those guys. They had two drafted off their defensive tackles last year. So, like, we don't have something to go off of. Lorenzo Styles, Sonny's brother, is a Notre Dame transfer, and he's not, like, he's an older guy. He's a redshirt senior, and he's just now slated to be the starting nickel with Jordan Hancock now gone. So, like, but again, he didn't play a whole lot because he's been entrenched. It's just, we don't have the body of work to talk about some of these other guys that might, I mean, that do have tools. So we'll see what happens there. But the guys that do have a substantial body of work on that front four, yeah, it's not hot. Again, they did transfer in a kid from Idaho who's a junior that they're pretty high on, Logan George.
Two first names.
That's really just kind of it. CJ Hicks converting from full-time linebacker to full-time edge rusher. Like, we'll see how that goes off the edge there. But outside of that, I do kind of like Arvell Reese in limited showing, but he's pretty raw and he's pretty thin. He's like, again, like 6'3", 220, 230, something like that. So, like, and he doesn't carry the weight the same way that Sonny does. Like, he's not that kind of body type. He's more slender. But we'll see full years as a starter now here. So, yeah, I think that's it for a primer on the Ohio State defense, man.
So we ranked them already with the way that we talked about them.
Yeah, we did.
I think we pretty much see them exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I think Downs and Styles are both round one guys.
Styles can definitely get there. Yeah. I think Matthews is a round one guy with a full-time body of work.
We'll see. Corners always terrify me.
It's volatile, yeah. Corners are volatile. Year out.
Yep, so we'll see. But especially with the limited snaps that he got. And it wasn't super-duper limited. He got a decent amount of work, but just overall, it's one where the more you play, the more opportunities you have to show your arse
right
at corner. That's just the way it is.
Yep. For sure. Well, I don't have anything else to add, Dalton.
I do not either.
All right. Well, as always, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. We're moving on to the number two team in the nation, which I believe was Penn State ended up finishing two in the nation, right? I don't remember who finished two.
I don't remember. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. That's what we're going to talk about next. But yeah. Until next time, this has been the Daft on Draft podcast.